Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. This has got to be, if not the shortest, one of the shortest homilies in history. But what else could he say? Sometimes the shortest homilies say the most. Fulfilled in your hearing is also the title of a document produced by the U.S. bishops we used in our homiletics class. This phrase is important because of who said it, of course, but also because it reminds us that the listener must hear the good news, not so much what's proclaimed or preached by the minister. The listener is all important. But to me, Jesus has said it all. He is proclaiming he is the anointed one. He has given his inaugural address. Did you hear it? In this short passage from Isaiah, Jesus lays out a good portion of who he was and what his ministry was to be. Did we hear it? Did we hear that he came to save us, liberate us from our captivity to sin? Did we hear that he came to help us recover our sight that we have lost by our unwillingness to see the truth about God? For me, what I heard was this: Emmanuel, God with us. Nowhere else in the Gospels, except perhaps his conversion during his conversation during the Last Supper, does Jesus express his purpose in life so clearly as in this scripture-based talk to his fellow villagers in the Nazarene synagogue. When called to the rostrum to read from Holy Scripture and say some words of inspiration and guidance, he chose a key text from Isaiah that summed up exactly what he himself wanted to achieve as a preacher and a healer. Jesus must have known this passage well, for Luke remarks that he unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written. We may well imagine they had heard it read before, often perhaps, and had made it his own by frequent meditation. In many ways, it conveys the same deep, hope-filled spirituality found in Our Lady's Magnificat about joy and liberty, and that divine power that can set free all who are oppressed. What a gracious God is portrayed. A God who anoints with the Spirit the one who is to bring joy and fullness of life to the poor, the captives, and the blind. What did you hear in this passage? Or a more general question might be, do you hear what is being said in sacred scripture at all? Do we block it out, saying it doesn't apply to me? Does it have relevance in our lives? Or is it just something we hear on Sunday mornings? When somebody asks you what you listen to, you don't assume they are talking about scripture. You assume they're asking you what kind of music do you listen to? Who are your favorite artists? We are not the culture described in the first reading that gathered around the prophet to listen to the word being proclaimed all day. Of course, we are also not a people who proclaim amen, amen, with our hands held high at scripture reading. But perhaps that is because we haven't had our temple torn down and had it rebuilt. We have not been exiled from our homeland and just been allowed to return. So perhaps their joy at hearing the sacred scripture, the authoritative voice in their time, proclaimed from the new temple, is understandable. When I said we are probably not like the Israelites described in the first reading, I think I was mistaken. I was not taking into account those of us who have had our own personal temples torn down, who know the feeling of exile from God and have been rebuilt into a new temple of God. Perhaps there are those of us in the church today who know the power of Scripture to refresh our souls and heal our wounds. Who or what is the authority in our life today? Who do we listen to? Is sacred scripture a force in our life? Do we turn to it like our forebears did to find truth and peace? The message Luke is trying to convey here is what the church is teaching about Jesus, that he is the Savior of the world. This message can be trusted and relied upon. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, that he came to free us from our oppression to sin, recover our sight, and allow us to see the truth about the love of God and bring glad tidings to the poor. He is the fulfillment of the words of the prophet Isaiah. Luke is telling his readers they can believe what they have heard about Jesus. This was an important point, as during this time, Christians were fighting for legitimacy. They needed hope and encouragement within their faith. But they're also trying to show that they were not a group out to destroy the Jews, and they were not a subversive group that would upset the social order and destroy families. This was important so they could try to avoid persecution from the Romans, who valued social order highly. In this end, the effort proved fruitless. Nero persecuted them anyways as a pernicious superstition. I wonder if we can identify with the idea that what we believe is merely a superstition. I find it interesting that the idea of faith in Jesus has been identified as a superstition from nearly the beginnings of our faith. I thought it was something that grew out of the Enlightenment or modernity, something that came out of the 60s. But those of us who have read the words in the Gospels and have heard them come alive in our hearts know better. It is no mere superstition. We know we are the body of Christ that Paul talks about. We know the Spirit has enlivened us. And we know we have brought together today, and whenever two or more are gathered in his name, to share our gifts that have been given to us by God. Ezra tells the people that at the rebuilt temple, don't be sad, do not weep. He recognized that day as a day of great joy. We too can join in that joy. For today is a day holy to our Lord also. Today is a day when we can eat rich food and drink sweet drinks. As a matter of fact, we will. We will eat the sweet food and drink the sweet drink of the Eucharist. For today we remember the rebuilding of Christ's temple, the gift that will come alive in our communion today. I hope the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing today. I hope you hear it as we move from word to table to listen to our priest presider as he leads us through the prayer of the Blessed Eucharist. I hope the scripture verses of the Last Supper are fulfilled in your hearing when the minister says to you, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Amen.